Genesis chapter 13, if you'll look with me. And I want to invite you and encourage you to come on Wednesday nights. Come on Wednesday nights as we are looking through the Gospels, preaching through the Gospels. And I'm asking the Lord, stir our hearts and help us to know you in a greater way. Amen. There's always more to know and to learn about Jesus. Amen. You're never going to be able to exhaust all that there is to know about him. Amen. And so we're going to be looking at the four Gospels and just actually getting started in Matthew. As I told them Wednesday night, I have no idea how long it will take to go through four Gospels, but probably a long, long time. Just asking the Lord to help us. Genesis 13 and verse number 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, and unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And Lot was not able to bear them, or the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. There was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee separate? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, that I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. The life of Abram is such an interesting story in the Bible, because Abram grew up without a knowledge of the true God. As a matter of fact, he grew up in a pagan, idol-worshiping family in an area that was given to idolatry. But what's so wonderful to me, and I hope it will be to you as well, when you just give consideration to the fact that before there were churches, before there were preachers or prophets, before there were even Bibles, God still spoke to his people. God has always wanted and desired to communicate with us. One of the reasons that we were created, you know, the crown of creation, above all other beings, because he wanted to have communion and fellowship with us. He did that in the garden as he walked every day in the cool of the day and fellowship with Adam and Eve. And there was this desire for communion and fellowship with man. And God has always spoken. Amen. Here he is in Ur of the Chaldees. This is an area that is close to the area of southern Iraq now. But it's in this place that's more or less a desert and a deserted place that God first speaks to Abram. Remember, he's in a family that doesn't know about the Jehovah God. He's in an area where it's nothing but idolatry and pagan worship. He doesn't know about the true and the living God, but God reveals himself to him. Do you understand that God wants to reveal himself to you, to every one of us? And many of us that are Christians here in this service today, we've had a revelation of Jesus, not necessarily a vision of him, not necessarily an audible voice. We know that God has spoken in the past by a lot of different ways. It says there in Hebrews chapter 1, in sundry different ways and through the prophets. But now in these days, he speaks through his son and through the power of his word. Amen. God wants to speak. Interesting enough, though, that even in the very place where Abram heard the voice of the Lord and had this wonderful encounter with the Lord, it's in that same place that's now Iraq, that many Muslims, and of all the 50 Muslim nations, one of the phenomenons that's taking place right now all across the Muslim world is they are having visions and revelations of Jesus Christ. And you can read about them, and I hear testimonies of this often, of different ones who are hearing from the Lord, and even though they it's illegal for them to read the Bible, and in most of those nations you don't have access to go in and to preach the gospel there and to tell them about Jesus. Jesus is revealing himself to those that are steeped in the darkness of Islam. And I think that's a pretty wonderful thing. Amen. That God cares for that 1.5 billion people that are in the darkness of Islam, but God wants to speak. He wants to fellowship. He wants to commune with us. Many times we don't hear from God because we're listening to all the other voices. Quite frankly, right now, if you're listening to the news, turn it off. It's getting worse almost every day. It's getting unbearable. All the things that are out there today and all the things that are happening in our nation and around the world. I think it's time to shut out a lot of these things so that we can hear the voice of the Lord, so we can hear from God and know that God wants to speak to his people. So Abram is growing up in a pagan family. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know Jehovah. He knows nothing about the God that we know. The Bible isn't even available. There's not a preacher, there's not a church, there's no one for him to turn to, but God reveals himself. You get a little insight into this revelation in a couple of verses, random verses of scripture. Joshua 24 and verse 2, it talks about that Abraham they served other gods. They served other gods. They were steeped in another philosophy. And most believe that they served a moon god, and that was their religion, their idolatry. But whenever Stephen is giving his discourse there in Acts chapter 7 in verse 2, he talks about this very thing that happened to Abram. He said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken! The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham, when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan. The glory of God appeared unto Abraham." So we don't know. The scripture doesn't give us all the details of exactly what happened to him, but he had this glorious encounter with God out there in that deserted place. He heard from God, and
The Lord commanded him to leave his home, to leave his family, to leave his kindred, to leave everything that he was familiar with, to leave it all behind, and to go to a place. And God said, just go. I'll show you where to go. And so he went out, it says in Hebrews, not knowing where he was going. He just went because he trusted in this God. How is it that he would have such a confidence in this God? That experience that he had, that encounter that he had, must have been so life-changing. It must have removed every doubt. It convinced him. If it was just a matter of minutes or however long that encounter was, it undoubtedly convinced him of the true and the living God enough that he was willing to pack up and to leave his family and to leave everything behind and do what the Lord was telling him to do. You know, that's still the call of God. God is still calling us to love him. The scripture in Luke 14 says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children. We know that that doesn't mean that he hates them to the point of like he despises them. It really just means unless you love me more than anyone else or anything else, you can't be my disciple. You can't really follow me. He's saying if you're going to really follow after me, you're going to have to put me at the top of the list of your loves, of the things that you love in your life. So there were choices to be made. Abram made some choices. That one encounter with God gave him the ability to make some really wise choices. You know, our lives are filled with choices, aren't they? And I've mentioned this before, but they say between the age of 16 and 26, you make the most crucial decisions of your life. And it almost seems reversed. It seems like that a person who's older, experienced, more knowledge, more wisdom, would be better equipped to make those hard decisions. But instead, it's young people who have to make the decision about their life, about their future, about their career, about their education, about their spouse, and maybe sometimes even where they're going to live. And that span of years are so critical. And we all live our life every day making decisions. One of the reasons why there's such an emphasis on encouraging young people and providing a lot of spiritual opportunities like youth camps and various things for young people so that they can be well equipped to make the right decisions, to do the right thing. For me as a young person, you know, I was like most any other young person raised up in church, trying to make the right decisions, and I fumbled around and made bad moves and bad decisions, but just because, honestly, it was the grace of God and people who cared about me, who gave me good counsel and prayed for me that helped me through those crucial years and helped me to make some important decisions. I want you to notice some of the decisions of Abram. First of all, his first decision, he chose to obey. He chose to obey God, to listen to his voice. All through the scripture, there are all kinds of commands of God and even promises of God that are given to us. But always with the promises, there are the conditions. God says, if you will do this, I will do this. If you will honor me, then I will do this. A couple of those promises, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. He was promising the people of God, if you'll obey my voice, if you'll obey my command, then I'm going to bless you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to sustain you in your times of need. And then in verse 20, he says, but if you refuse and rebel, or if you just go your own way, then you are going to be devoured with the sword. You're going to suffer the consequences if you just decide, I'm going to do things my way. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, it's my life. I'll do with it what I want. But the interesting thing is this. Yes, it is your life. But the very next breath that we take, we couldn't take it if it wasn't for God's grace. We couldn't take another step. We couldn't do anything. Some people say, I'll do what I want to do with my life. I'll follow the career, and I've got the knowledge and the intellect. I'll follow this pathway with my life. But even your knowledge and your training and your intellect and all of those abilities that you have, all those have come from God too. Everything that we have, every good thing that's in our life, every good provision and everything that God has given to us, every enablement that he's given to us, it's all a gift of God. So for those that would say, it's my life, I'll live it the way that I want to, what a foolish decision to make. But instead, learn to listen. I believe that we learn to listen to God from the very early days of our life. That's why it's important that children learn how to listen to commands and obey the commands of their parents or their teachers or whoever that those authorities might be. It's important for them to learn them because it's a lesson that they must learn in life so that they can have the right response and the right attitude whenever they hear the voice of God. When you read the Word of God, when you hear the Word of God taught or preached, when you come under the influence of the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, it's a foolish thing to turn away from the truth. It's an important thing to listen to the voice of God. So Abram heard the voice of God apparently that time, and then again, just in chapter 12, and then in chapter 13, he has another time when the Lord appears to him and speaks to him, and from those encounters, he heard the voice of the Lord, and he obeyed God's voice. Amen. So I want you to be encouraged today to know that as Christians, or even if you're not a believer today, that the beginning of your walk with the Lord, just as it was with Abram's life, it begins with choices that you make. And where you are right now, if you're young or maybe if you're older, maybe the majority like me, the majority of my life is in my past. I've got future, but I really have no, none of us really know what the future holds. We don't know how much time we have left in this world. This is the day, today, right now, this is the day to start listening to God's voice and obeying Him. As I said, there's some 3,500 promises in the Word of God. Many of those promises have the condition. If you will obey my voice, then I will do this. I will work in your behalf. I will minister to you and I will help you. The Lord had appeared to Abram and said, this is what I'm going to do for you. Unto your seed will I give this land. And there, the Bible says, he built an altar unto the God that appeared unto him. Amen. He chose to obey. Choose today to listen to God's voice and to obey. You may be saying, well, God doesn't speak to me. If you'll spend some time sincerely reading God's word, spending some time seeking after God, you will hear the voice of God. As the songwriter says, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. You will hear the voice of the Lord if you will seek the Lord. So he chose to obey. And then secondly, he chose to believe God and to trust God. To take him at his word. What God spoke to him that day as he had this glorious revelation of God. As he heard the voice of the Lord, he had to make a very, very serious decision that day. Because God had said, leave your family. God had said, leave your homeland. Leave. I mean, now we hear this story and we know the story, but just think about it. What if God was speaking to you and telling you, leave your family, leave the place that you're so familiar with, your homeland, leave it all and go. And then as you go, I will show you where I want you to be. It took tremendous amount of faith. No doubt that's why that Abram is called the father of faith. And a man who exercised such faith in God because he heard the voice of the Lord and he did what God commanded him to do. And the only way he could do that is because he believed God and he trusted the Lord. I know there's a lot of people that they would argue about the Bible, and they would say, well, the Bible is, you know, you can't be defended. And the Bible, you know, and I've even heard politicians talk about the Bible and quote passages of Scripture and completely twist it up and misinterpret the Word of God. But if you're a sincere person who wants to hear from God, I want you to know that you can get a copy of God's Word and you can begin to read it and study it and spend some time reading God's Word, and you will hear His voice. Amen. Scripture says, there has not failed one word of all of His good promise. You can stake your life, you can stake your future, you can stake your eternity upon the Word of God. Not one word has failed. It's the truth, and it's going to come to pass. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about this sure word of prophecy that we have, the word of the Lord, that you can take this word of God and you can believe it and you can build your life upon it and you can see the principles of God's word guide your steps, lead you all along the way. Amen. Eula was a Bible reader all of her life. In these latter years, she, family, read the Bible to her. They read the Bible together. She's always been, ever since I knew her many years ago, I knew that they read the Bible together. And they, from time to time, I would hear, they would give me the testimony of, well, we were here, this is where we were at in the Word of God. We were reading in that particular passage now. And they were Bible readers. I'm convinced that she had put her hope and her future in the promises of God's Word. Amen. And now she's experiencing the revelation of all of that truth and the fulfillment of all of that truth in this wonderful, glorious place that she's in. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Most of the religions of the world are dark and judgment and hopeless and no answer and no future and certainly no promise of eternity. But God has given to us a sure word of prophecy. And it is light in a dark place. It is the light when everywhere else you turn, there is no hope. There is truth and there is light in the word of the Lord. And so he chose to believe God. He chose to trust God. Even though he had only had this one encounter, that encounter with Jesus was enough for him. That encounter with the Jehovah God was enough for him to pack up, to take all of his belongings, all of his wealth and riches, all of his family with him and say, we're leaving. We're going. Where are we going, Daddy? Where are we going? I'm not sure where we're going. I don't really know. I just know he said go, and so we're going to go. I heard the voice of the Lord. He believed God, and he trusted God. At Revelation, you can read a little bit more, get a little bit more insight into the revelation that he had in the book of Hebrews, talking about that vision that he had. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. As far as I know, Abraham never had a permanent dwelling. He lived his life as a sojourner in tents, in temporary housing, temporary tabernacles. And verse 10, it says, for he looked for a city which had foundations. That was what he was looking for. It was a wonderful type of the church and what you and I ought to be. And that is not so settled into this world that we forget about the fact that there is really a permanent world that's coming. And it has a sure foundation. There's a city that we're looking for that has a sure foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And you know the story that Abraham and Sarah are way up in years, but they still had faith in God. They believed God. And when they heard the promise of God that they were going to have a child in their 90s, you know what they did? They did what any normal person in their 90s would do. They laughed. They laughed. This is ridiculous. This could not happen. This is impossible. This could not happen. As a matter of fact, the next verse in verse 12, it says, therefore sprang there even of one with him as good as dead. That's the shape that Abraham was in. He was as good as dead. I mean, he was an old guy. But God, when God moves, God can move in impossible situations, and God can give faith to believe that he can do the impossible, and that's exactly what he did. He fulfilled his word and fulfilled his promise to Abraham. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. So he chose to obey, and he chose to trust God. Chose to trust the Lord. That's the life of every Christian, because you're always going to have times where you're not going to know what's next or why things are happening the way that they are. There always will be questions. Yeah, there'll be doubts. There'll be times when you don't know what's ahead or how you could possibly move forward. But God is faithful. He'll fulfill his word. He'll do what he has promised, and he is trustworthy. So he chose to obey, and he chose to trust. The third thing that he did was he chose to worship God. Abraham chose to worship God. As soon as he got into Canaan, or into the promised land, it was still inhabited by the Canaanites. And it says, so he built an altar and prayed unto the Lord. He worshiped. Who told him to build altars? Who told him to pray? God had touched him. That revelation that he had, he understood. He had such an understanding in faith to see ahead that he built an altar and prayed that day. I believe that we all are worshipers, because really worship is just a testament of what you think is important or valuable, worth-ship. It reveals what's important. Most people in our world today, they worship themselves, because their life and who they are and what they're doing, they are the center of the world, not God, not the things of God. Sometimes it's pleasure or good times. Sometimes it's money. I've got to have a little bit more. Got to make a little bit more. I have to have something else that the world has to offer. How do you spend your time, your money? How are you spending your life? It's all a revelation of the object of worship, because we are all worshipers. But Abram built an altar, prayed to God, and this wasn't the only time that he did that. Repeatedly, he would build an altar and call to the God of Israel. He would pray and call upon the Lord, and God would move in his behalf. It's a good move, a good decision to decide that I'm going to put God first in my life. I am going to honor the Lord with my life. But then one more decision that I want to mention, and that's actually the title today. And the fourth decision is the decision that you can't make. In essence, it's the decision where you let God choose. And that's what we read to you from Genesis chapter 13. The story is that Lot has grown with all of his herds and his flocks. Abraham as well. There's so much and so many that they're too many for the land to contain them. And so instead of being together, Abram is the wise leader who says, it's time for us to separate. Really, Lot, even though that in the book of James, he's referred to as a righteous man, I think that Lot really symbolizes the person who is carnal, the person that's fleshly, who makes the decision based upon what he sees. He sees the well-watered plains. He sees the cities. He sees all the things, and he thinks, that looks good. And so the Bible says he set his direction. He pitched his tent in that direction. But instead, Abram was the one who said, Lot, you can choose. I'm not going to choose. I'm going to leave this in the hands of the Lord. I'm going to trust God. Sometimes the wisest decision you can ever make is to not make the decision, but put it in the hands of the Lord. To let God choose. To let God direct. To let him lead you in the way that only he can lead you. And so the Bible says that Lot chose those well-watered plains. He didn't notice that those same well-watered plains were running into the Dead Sea. He didn't know that those cities on the horizon were going to be the very places that were going to corrupt him and corrupt his family. That it wouldn't be very long until he was sitting in the gate and trying to be like one of them. It wouldn't be very long that when those that were perverted were coming and beating on the door, wanting the angels of the Lord because they wanted to do acts of perversion with them. But instead, Lot sends his own daughters and says, here, you can have my daughters. Is this a righteous man? This is a man who is greatly influenced by his surroundings. He's the carnal man who allows himself to be so influenced that he makes one bad decision after another because he didn't put it in the hands of the Lord and trust God with his life and with his future. The fact of the matter is, whenever God said to him, Abram, I want you to look to the north and to the south and the east and the west, because really, to your family and to your seed, I'm going to give it all to them. It didn't really matter what Lot chose. Abraham, I'm going to give all of this to you. It all belongs to you. And Abraham just trusted God enough that he left the decision to God. Lot even lost his wife as she left Sodom, and the perversion of Sodom and the love for the world got so in the heart of Lot's wife that he couldn't obey. Or she couldn't obey. She turned. The Bible says, turned into a pillar of salt. What a tragic thing. And then Lot's own daughters gave him and got him drunk. Now, I know it says that they gave him to drink and got him drunk, but you know, he had to take the first few drinks. He was the responsible one in this. He's the one that got involved in this, and then incest, and then the result of that was nations that even to this very day are nothing but trouble and uprisings and problems down through the centuries. Let me tell you, you can make a bad decision that can have long-range impact. Long-range impact. That's why it's important to put it in the hands of the Lord. It's important to trust God. There's some decisions like believing God, like trusting God, like worshiping God. You can't go wrong there, but there's some decisions in your life that it's important that you just put it in the hands of the Lord and let him choose. Let him choose. He was the father of the faithful. Abram was called a friend of God. He was the father of that nation. And actually, it says of him, he said, not only in you, but in your children and your lineage, all the people of the earth will be blessed. And of course, he was talking about the fact that in the lineage of Abraham was going to be Jesus the Messiah born. And when Jesus was born, he was the one that was going to bring hope and help to everyone. Blessing to everyone that's ever been born. They can find hope through the Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I want to just take this moment just to challenge you. God wants to speak to you. He wants to communicate with you, and he will if you'll open your heart to him. If you allow him to, he'll speak to you. And then you need to hear his voice and obey his voice. And when you don't know what to do, you need to put it in his hands. You need to commit your ways to the Lord. Put it in his hands and trust him. Because when you allow God to make the choice, he always does the right thing. Praise God. Father, thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we know, Lord, that you could speak, Lord, to every individual in this service today. I thank you, Lord, for the day as a young person that I heard your voice speaking to me. Not an audible voice, but Lord, I sensed you directing me. I sensed you pulling at me. I had that inward desire to know you, to walk with you. I thank you, Lord, for the grace of God, Lord, that has touched our lives. Brought us, Lord, to that place of repentance and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, I thank you for that wonderful gift. And I thank you, Lord, that you can give to us, Lord, wisdom to make right decisions along the way. And then, Lord, when we don't know what to do, when we don't have the wisdom, and we don't really have the answer, Lord, we can put it in your hands and we can trust you, Lord, to decide for us, to show us, Lord, exactly what your purpose and your will is for our lives. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name.